Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maximilian Schöberl, Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs. I would like to welcome you all to today's telephone conference for the first quarter results. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, our CFO. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you an update on the business performance during the first 3 months of 2013. Then Dr. Eichiner will take you through our financial results for the first quarter. Afterwards, we will have time for a Q&A session. Dr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The BMW Group has a clear strategy up to 2020. At our annual accounts press conference, I already talked about how we successfully implemented the first stage of our strategy in 2012. Now we are targeting our second major milestone for the year 2016. As we do so, we regularly adjust our assumptions to factor in current changes in our business environment. In 2016, we aim to sell over 2 million vehicles of our three brands, BMW, MINI and Rolls-Royce Motor Cars. BMW Motorrad in our financial services business will also continue to grow and contribute to the success of our company. At the same time, profitability is and will remain the basis for us to master the many different challenges facing the automotive industry. One thing is clear, we aim to shape our future through our own efforts as an independent company. We are still targeting an EBIT margin of between 8 and 10% in the automotive segment over the medium term. We are aware this is an ambitious goal in light of the current conditions. Our economic and political environment is becoming increasingly more uncertain and more volatile. Growth rates in China are a source of uncertainty, for instance, while the political situation in crisis regions remains unclear. Also, Europe needs to find the right balance between its belt-tightening measures and growth. Like the experts, we expect the consolidation of public budget to take several more years to be achieved. All of these developments pose risks to the economy and consumer spending and will affect our business performance. As always, companies need the most reliable framework possible in order to plan for the future. But this can only be achieved with parameters that are based on sound analysis. One example where this is clearly not the case is the recent proposal by the European Parliament to tighten CO2 limits in Europe from 2025 on. This proposal was politically motivated and published without conducting any kinds of technical feasibility study. The EU's 95 gram CO2 target for 2020 is already impossible to meet without the use of alternative drive technology. The European Union must decide, as other countries have, whether or not it wants to combine reductions in emissions and fuel consumption with boosting incentives for technological advancements. It is hard to understand why alternative drivetrains should only be credited with a factor of 1.5 in Europe, while the same drivetrain technology is credited with a factor of 5 in China and a factor of 2 in the United States. This is not only counterproductive for the industrial base in Germany, but also in Europe. And Europe is not currently in a strong enough position to isolate itself from global competition in this way. Automotive markets are already developing unevenly. At a global level, forecasts call for moderate growth in the automotive market over the course of 2013. This total market growth will be driven by the strong demand anticipated in the US, China, and certain growth markets. In Europe, however, we expect to see a decline in new car registrations. In the first 3 months of the year, the BMW Group made gains in all three major regions of the world, Europe, the Americas, and Asia. This shows that our efforts to achieve balanced growth continue to pay off. We focus closely on each individual market, no matter how big or small it may be. We are confident, therefore, that our positive track record will continue throughout the current financial year. Our 2013 targets are as follows. New record sales at group level. Group earnings before tax are expected to reach the previous year's level. This assumes that global economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. So, where do we stand after the first quarter? We delivered over 448,000 cars to customers worldwide. This is the best result we have ever achieved in the first quarter. Our pre-tax result on the group level stands at over 2 billion euros. With this, the record level of the previous year was nearly reached. At 9.9%, the EBIT margin in the automotive segment is at the upper end of our profitability range target of between 8 to 10%. Group profit amounts to over 1.3 billion euros. Again, we almost achieved the previous year's record level. At the BMW Group, our thinking and actions are always geared towards the long term. Our aim is to actively shape the individual mobility of tomorrow and ensure our company's successful development. Because the iconic change in the automotive industry has only just begun, we have a responsibility towards our shareholders and our associates to prepare the company as best we can for all of the changes that lie ahead. We believe that now is the right time to invest in the future. This means investments in drivetrain technologies and new vehicle concepts, existing and new locations, our brands and sub-brands, new services and sales structures, as well as the qualification of our staff. We will once again be making strategic recruitments this year. We are increasing staff numbers to capitalize on the group's planned growth. We are also strengthening our expertise so that we have the know-how we need in key future areas, primarily e-mobility and carbon fiber. Accordingly, our workforce grew by about 5% as of the end of the first quarter. We are firmly convinced that our investments today will benefit us tomorrow and beyond. We offer our customers a broad range of young and attractive products and will continue to do so in the future. This year, customers can also choose between 11 new models in different vehicle segments. March saw the successful launch of the revised BMW Z4. Another March launch was the Paceman, the seventh member of the Mini family. The new BMW M6 Grand Coupé will be in showrooms from May. Mid-year, the new BMW 3 Series Gran Turismo will be available as the third variant of the current BMW 3 Series. Then, in the second half of the year, we will launch the first model of our new 4 Series, the new BMW 4 Series Coupe. Another major highlight towards the end of the year will come from Rolls-Royce with the launch of the Wraith. Looking ahead briefly to 2014, we have already shared a glimpse of what to expect with two totally new vehicle concepts, the BMW Concept X4 and the BMW Concept Active Tourer. Returning to this year, 2013 will be dominated by the start of series production of our ultra-sustainable BMW i family. Already this autumn, we will all be able to experience the fully electric BMW i3 on the road, and it will be available to customers at the end of the year. Many of you were at our innovation days in Leipzig. There we gave you a behind-the-scenes look at BMW i. What efficiencies have we achieved in the production of BMW i models? How do we conserve resources on a large scale? What is our 360-degree approach to ensure customer satisfaction from crash tests to insurance coverage? After the event, many media reports and experts expressed the same sentiment about the BMW Group, that we are creating a new and unique driving experience for the future. We see this as both motivation and, of course, obligation. As a multi-brand company devoted exclusively to premium mobility, we are refining our BMW, MINI and Rolls-Royce brands with new models and technologies to fit the times. We are confident that BMW i will offer the most viable solutions for e-mobility. We will continue to capitalize on our strong global position and profits and to invest in the company's future. We have set a clear course for our continued success up to 2016 and beyond that to 2020. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. And now Friedrich Eichinger will give you an update on the financials of the BMW Group. Dr. Eichinger, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group has continued to strengthen its position as the world's leading premium auto manufacturer. Despite a challenging sales environment in Europe and stronger competition, we made a successful start to the year. Our profitability for the first quarter of 2013 was within our target range. At the same time, we made important upfront investments to secure the future success of the company. Now, let's take a look at our business figures. The BMW Group expanded its leadership of the premium segment with a 5.3% increase in sales volumes. Thanks to its attractive new models, our core BMW brand saw particularly strong growth, with gains of 7% on top of last year's strong first quarter. BMW 3 Series, 5 Series and 6 Series, as well as the X1 and the 7 Series sedan, were all leaders in their respective segments. Sales growth was evenly distributed worldwide. The BMW Group achieved the largest volume gains in Asia and in China in particular. In China, our joint venture benefited from the expansion of the local production capacity. As a result, first quarter deliveries of important BMW vehicles were below of imported BMW vehicles were below last year's high level. This will balance out over the course of the year. And BMW Group also posted higher sales in North America and especially the US, where the X models in particular generated stronger demand. European sales improved year on year after a weaker first quarter in 2012. European markets developed unevenly, and we expect to face further challenges on the continent over the course of the year. The ongoing euro crisis is unsettling consumers. As a result, competition in the markets has intensified. Nevertheless, in particular, the BMW 1 Series and the BMW 3 Series performed very well. Before I go into the details of our quarterly figures, I would like to point out a change in accounting. The group and auto profit figures from last year were adjusted because we implemented changes in pension accounting in line with revised IAS 19. You will find more detailed information in the notes to the group financial statements under Note 3. At group level, revenues reached 17.55 billion euros with a pre-tax profit of 2 billion euros. The pre-tax return on sales of the group was 11.4%. In the first 3 months of the year, the BMW Group forged ahead with product and technology development. This led to an increase in the company's headcount. By the end of the quarter, the BMW Group had 106,470 employees, roughly 600 more than at the end of 2012. Year on year, this resulted in higher personnel costs. R&D expenditure totaled 988 million euros in the first quarter. This represents an increase of 2% over the previous year, with an R&D ratio for the first quarter of 5.4% of revenue. As previously announced, development costs for 2013 will be higher than last year. The expansion and renewal of our product portfolio and the development of low-emission and alternative drive technologies will be a focal point. Our R&D ratio will probably slightly exceed our target range of 5 to 5.5% of revenues. The BMW Group's capital expenditure for the quarter totaled 1.21 billion euros, twice the amount for the same period last year. Our investments in future technologies, including the acquisition of intangible assets, will enhance the company's long-term competitiveness. At our Leipzig and Dingolfing sites, as well as in Landshut and Wackersdorf, the creation of our e-mobility production network proceeded according to plan. Pre-series production of the BMW i3 is now underway. We also invested in adding and expanding capacity and have been preparing for the production of new vehicles in our plants. The CapEx ratio for the first quarter stood at 6.9% of revenue. As previously announced, we will exceed our target of below 7% over the full year. As per March 31st, group liquidity totaled almost 11 billion euros. Our liquid asset position therefore remains solid. Let's move on to the automotive segment. The segment had revenues of more than 15.9 billion euros in the first quarter, which was slightly below last year's high level. The segment's EBIT for the first quarter totaled more than 1.58 billion euros. This is 16% lower than the strong EBIT of the previous year. The EBIT margin for the segment was at the upper end of our target range at 9.9%. Stronger competition in Europe and a higher percentage of joint venture models produced in China affected segment earnings. As previously announced, our upfront investments in future projects of around 1 billion euros will affect year-on-year earnings for the full year. The first quarter was impacted to a lesser share by this, and as a result, earnings development benefited. The aforementioned increase in CapEx dampened the development of free cash flow in the auto segment, which was 628 million euros. As already announced, free cash flow will remain under 3 billion euros for the full year due to high investments to secure future success. As per end of March, net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to almost 14.1 billion euros. Now I would like to talk about the financial services segment. This was a very successful first quarter for BMW Group Financial Services. The segment benefited from our sales growth and concluded more than 340,000 new leasing and financing contracts with retail customers. This represents an 11.2% increase over the same period last year. Pre-tax profit climbed to 449 million euros, and the penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles leased or financed by BMW Financial Services, reached 44.2% in the first quarter. This increase mainly stems from dynamic new business in the US, in the United States, in China, and in Germany. Used car markets have been largely stable in Germany, France, the UK, and the US since the end of 2012, but remained weak in Southern Europe. The market situation in Europe seems likely to remain this way for the rest of the year, but we have made preparations for this and are well prepared and covered for potential risks. In the largest leasing market, the US, we expect used car prices to change little over the coming month. Credit risks have remained mostly stable compared to last year in most markets. The situation is still difficult in the southern European markets, and expectations remain very cautious. Here also, exposed and potential risks have been covered with corresponding provisions. That brings me to the motorcycle segment. The segment delivered more motorcycles in the first quarter than ever before. BMW Motorrad's motorcycle sales rose by 1.5% to more than 24,700 vehicles. Also, European markets contracted. BMW Motorrad made gains in US, Brazil, and Japan. The motorcycle segment had revenues of 436 million euros, almost matching last year's level. The segment EBIT reached a new high of 51 million euros. Deconsolidation of Husqvarna was completed in March. For the full year, we anticipate higher year-on-year sales for BMW Motorrad, mainly thanks to the Maxi scooters now fully available and the new F800 GT and R1200 GS models. Ladies and gentlemen, back to the group. We are maintaining our guidance for 2013. The BMW Group is still targeting record sales this year. Stronger demand is forecast in the U.S., China, and some emerging markets, but European markets are likely to shrink. The BMW Group is sticking to its strategic course. Thanks to its financial strengths, we are able to continue preparing for the future of our company and enhancing its competitiveness. Innovation, future technologies, and further internationalization are the focus of our research and investment activities. In the second half of the year, we anticipate additional costs from the market launch and ramp-up of the BMW i3 and other new models. Improving cost structures and efficiencies still are a high priority. Our goal remains profitable growth within our target margin range. At group level, consistent with the previous forecast, we aim to achieve a profit before tax on a similar scale to that reported in 2012. This assumes that conditions do not worsen significantly. At this time, we are aware of the possibility of a further slowdown and declining car market in Europe. A short-term recovery in the second half of the year seems unlikely. However, despite lasting uncertainty about the budget deficit, the U.S. economy is expected to continue growing. Stable growth is forecast for China as well. We are maintaining our target range of 8% to 10% for EBIT margin in automotive segment. The target for the financial services segment is a return on equity of at least 18%. At BMW Motorrad, we expect to see a positive trend in earnings. The current volatility in the global market makes long-term forecasts challenging. The spread of the debt crisis in Europe, substantially slower growth in China, political hotspots, as well as increasing regulation could affect our business more than we are able to predict today. Due to economic challenges, the BMW Group does not expect tailwinds for its business in 2013. However, we benefit from a young and attractive vehicle portfolio and a clear strategic orientation. That is how we intend to maintain our leading position in the global premium segment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical information.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Erich Hauser from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Quickly from my side, I just wanted to double-check a statement that I thought I heard you make on the press call this morning. I believe you suggested that investments will step up in 2013 and 2014, or at least this was what was reported by the news wires. When I look back to the transcript of your full-year results conference, I believe you said that these investments would be leveling out in 2014. So I just wanted to ask you if you could please clarify this for me, whether there will be an incremental headwind in the 2014 P&L versus 2013 P&L. And secondly, one statement that sort of caught my imagination a bit on the press call this morning was when, I think it was you, Dr. Reithofer, you've mentioned that you believe the German government was providing you with adequate support to get the voice of the premium car industry heard in Brussels when it comes to CO2 targets. And with that in mind, it really raises two points for me. I mean, do you think a potential change in government in Germany would change anything? I mean, if I look at the latest Forsa survey, it looks like 44% of Germans are favoring the CDU/FDP coalition, and 45% are now favoring a red-red-green coalition. And secondly, do you see risks in the second half of 2013 if there was indeed a change in government in Germany. Thank you so much.
So thank you very much, Erich. We start with Mr. Eichiner and then Mr. Reithofer. Mr. Eichiner, please.
Erich, to come back what was said this morning, I mean, the question was about ratios. The ratios is clearly defined via the revenue as well. So we have to have an assumption about the revenue. Our expectation is the company will be able to grow revenue in 2014 as well. So while it may be there is a certain relief on the ratio, the absolute number of capex and R&D spending will be at a higher level in 2014 as well, because this is something we need to do up front in order to build up our technological position for 2020, as we already disclosed, and then with growing revenue the ratios will get better. That is at least our expectation for 2014.
Mr. Reithofer?
I mean, your question is a challenging one for me, because I don't want to speculate who will be the next government in Germany. I hope you understand that. But what I would like to do is to make again my point clear. I would like to highlight again, companies, and I mean the European Union, I mean the European Parliament, companies need a reliable framework to be able to plan for the future. And that is especially true for the year 2025. And why? Because we have a target for the year 2020, the 95 gram CO2 target. And we have again a target for the year 2025 between 68 grams and 78 grams. You can say it's a kind of a range. So, and if you know product development cycles in the automobile industry, we talk about 7 years. And if you have in mind future technologies, I would say even more. And you cannot force the car industry into a 2020 target, 95 grams CO2 per kilometer, and then say, so, and just out of the hip for the year 2025, a target between 68 and 78 grams CO2 per kilometer without sound analysis. So that is for me not possible. And you will reach a limit where the industry is not able anymore to achieve a certain target. That was my point, crystal clear. So, and that is a statement for all European governments and especially for the European Parliament.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Ravi Freier from Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Ravi Freier from Exane. I have two questions, please. First one is on the pricing. You have a 50 to 100 bips pricing headwind that's factored into your guidance, as you said, with your full year results. From what we're seeing and maybe what your competitors are acknowledging is that maybe pricing has not been as negative as feared in Q1. Do you share this view? And maybe is it fair to say that you seem on track to be at the lower end of this 50 to 100 bips headwind? And my second question is you're on auto EBIT bridge. If we look at your 2012 auto EBIT bridge, you had a substantial HR cost headwind of 650 million. Could you give us an indication maybe about the burden in Q1 and more importantly how you view this this year in light of the headcount increase and demands from unions in Germany? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Eichiner.
Well, let me first start with the pricing issue. So we don't see actually a relief in a pricing pressure as long as the markets in Europe are weakening as they are showing up today. So that's why I cannot justify a guidance that is lower than we've given it to you. So there is still a lot of pressure, and all the advertisements out there, if I follow up what's been shown so far, is not demonstrating that we are getting a relief at this point in time. So that's I'm talking mainly about Europe, where we have the majority of this pressure. It's the better situation in the U.S., where pricing is fairly stable, but Europe is still under pressure as long as the economy is not recovering. So that's what I have to say. So I'm not too optimistic for the development in pricing, especially in Europe. Then your second question about the personnel cost. Well, we had to increase headcount in order to support growth and in order to support our technology development of technology side, for example, to build up expertise in the production for carbon fiber production for the I3. So this is now factored in, and it led to higher costs as well as wage increases collectively bargained, and those are basically the elements that led to an increase in personnel costs and will lead to a certain increase of personnel costs in 2013 as well.
In the amount of 2012, you see this change?
Yeah, the only thing I think can say, it's a low to mid three-digit million euro amount due to the growth, as I said, in workforce and the wages.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Daniel Schwarz from Commerzbank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. I have two questions. One is on your market assumptions. You say you expect a flat German market after minus 13% in Q1. Do you see the stabilization already, for example, in your order intake, and how crucial is that for your group guidance? And the second question would be on financial services. The new contracts in the first quarter, could you say what the split was between leasing and financing and how that compares to last year? Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I think we start with Mr. Reithofer and then Mr. Eichiner. Mr. Reithofer, please.
Look, if I see Germany's total passenger car market, then it's expected to remain at about the same level as last year in 2013 as, let me say, around 3.1 million units. But I have to say, especially March, was the German market a lot weaker. Mm-hmm. But we think it can stabilize during the course of the year. If we are happy, then we will achieve approximately 3.1 million units in the total market in Germany.
Thank you very much. Next part of the question, Mr. Eichiner.
Well, your question about financial services. So now first let's talk about the penetration rate. The penetration rate increased a bit from 40.4% for the full year 2012 up to 44.2% in the first quarter of 2013. The split is 22.4% financing and 21.8% leasing, very close to the split in for the full year, which was 27% financing and 19.7% in leasing. And the background of the increased penetration rate is that we have more business in the U.S., which is a strong financing market, and the penetration rate in China is on a way to grow. And those are basically the elements driving the penetration rate up.
In China, it's also more leasing or more financing?
Financing so far, financing only.
Okay.
But it's still valid for the penetration, right?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Stuart Pearson from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just the two or three questions. I mean, starting with China, we hear from some of the dealers in China that, as per Mercedes did in the fourth quarter, that BMW started to offer some support to the dealers to compensate for some of the margin weakness they had last year. Is that something you can confirm, and has it been significant at all, and should we even worry about that going forward? And then just more broadly on China, obviously Q1, there was weak ASP, I guess, on the weakness in China imports, partly against a tough comparison. comparison base last year. But what are you seeing so far in the second quarter, and how do you see the top end of that market going forward in China? And perhaps just one last one following on from that, not necessarily about China, but at the very top end, I mean, the 7 Series sales remain very weak. Is that something just to do with the segment, do you think? Is there something structural happening with that segment, or is it just an issue of people delaying purchases, perhaps ahead of the new Mercedes S-Class launch later this year? So I wonder if you could talk about that segment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Mr. Aichina?
Well, I mean, in 2012, we came into a situation where the demand was slowing down and there was too much inventory at dealer level available, so that led to a certain support pressure. Now, in the meantime, we've cleaned up the inventory, and we see first signs of recovering when it comes down to pricing, and we decided to give less support. For example, for models like X, the X models, the X5 or X6. So that is what we did. So we cleaned it up, and now we are expecting a more stable pricing, and it seems to be that this is possible to be achieved. Having said that, we are not yet back on the level of 2012 first quarter. Now, you mentioned the first quarter 2012. This was the development against the say support. I explained. Now, the question about imported cars. Well, in 2012, first quarter, the Chinese economy was still very strong, and demand for luxury goods, especially for cars, very high. So we've been taking a decision to kind of front load our business in China, and that was done by very strong sales on the imported vehicle side. Though an extraordinary strong sales push in China in the first quarter was the result. And now this is not possible to be done this year again. As a consequence, the volume in first quarter on imported car size decreased by 18%. But this is not the number we are expecting for the full year. In essence, we think there's still an opportunity to grow the imported business as well. But in the first quarter, we had this development to consider. Another reason is that we have the more attractive younger portfolio now on the local side, because we introduced new cars like the new 3 Series, long version, the Chinese version, and this car is accepted quite well. And we introduced the X1, locally produced. Now they have a very attractive new cars on the local side, and this is fueling the sales there as well. Those effects, at the end of the day, led to the result we discussed now for China. 7 Series, your third question. I mean, there's a bit of a kind of a political uncertainty, because all that was said is that those high-end luxury products are a bit questioned, and now there are customers still hesitating what they should do. Now we have to see what's coming. At the end of the day, basically, we believe that Chinese customers still want to buy products like the 7 Series, and our expectation is that over time this will wash out and we see better sales for the 7s as well.
But, and globally, sorry, because the 7 Series, I think, was down 30% year-to-date, so I presumably down significantly outside of China as well. So, you know, is that just a delaying ahead of the S-Class impact that you typically see, or is that just a switch to SUVs that we're seeing more there?
If you look at the numbers of our competitors, and they are really not better, so it seems to be that the whole segment in the first quarter is a bit under pressure. Of course, China is the strongest 7 Series market. So if something changes in China, then you see it in this particular segment. So that made a lot. And I mean, we all know that in Europe, that Europe is not a strong 7 Series market anymore. It's basically U.S. And China. And in China, we've seen the change.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Fraser Hill from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Just one question left, actually, on your production levels. You obviously overproduced somewhat in the first quarter by 30-odd thousand units. I just wondered if you could give us an update where your inventory position is in the non-Chinese markets. You just made it clear that you think that's fairly comfortable in China. Where are you in Europe and the US relative to where you would like to be? And where do you think production is going to be over the coming quarters relative to your retail sales expectations? Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Aichina, please.
Well, please allow me to correct a bit what was said. I don't think that we overproduced. We are producing the cars that are planned to be sold now in a very strong second quarter. Second quarter always is a strong sales quarter for us, so we have to support sales, and in order to support future growth, you first have to make the production right and produce the cars before you can sell them. So in a growing environment, as we are expecting, we need to produce first, and then we are selling. So that's just the logical behind it. And we are looking at our inventory numbers in terms of days supply, and they are okay, very well managed in all of those markets. Now, of course, there's an expectation out there that we can sell those cars, and we have to, otherwise it would not be possible to meet our guidance this year, where we announced already growth. So that's the background of this, and nothing unusual. Yeah, thanks.
It's fine. Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Michael Tyndall from Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Just two questions, if I may. The first is kind of a theoretical question. If I think about the releases that you've got for the rest of the year, so the Paceman, the X4, a lot of these models I would describe as incremental on a volume selling model. And I know you won't comment around margins on individual models, but I'm just curious to know whether or not the margin on these cars that are effectively sitting on a shared platform is better or worse than the bigger volume selling model. So I guess wondering whether or not these are the cream of the crop, or in fact they're a little bit more expensive because the volumes are smaller. And then the second question, very straightforward on the leasing front. Clearly funding rates have come down. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the benefit you're seeing, whether it's a function of you charging customers more or being actually able to fund cheaper. If you can give me some idea of what the split is there in terms of the improvement in financial services. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michael. Mr. Aichina.
Well, I mean, you mentioned already, we are not disclosing the margins of individual models. But I can assure that we are quite satisfied with the margins, for example, on an X4, which is a very attractive model, and for the mini brand Paceman is also very, very positive. So we like cars like this. So when I come back to leasing, you're right, we are enjoying a very attractive funding rates. And as there is a competition out there, of course, part of this improvement on the funding side will be a customer benefit as well. Having said that, it's still possible to maintain a very attractive margin in our financial services business, and that's the reason that we are able to show the profit you've seen for quarter one.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Jochen Gerke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Just two quick ones. First, following up on Daniel's question on Germany, and sorry for being a bit picky, but obviously your forecast with 3.1 for the year in Germany is probably representing the higher end of what people are thinking of the market. When you look at the runway today, 2.9 million units, and kind of like regardless whether we are hitting the 3.1 in the year, do you really see the risks that Germany would further deteriorate in your very cautious commentary on Europe, or is this just a question of improving somewhere between 2.9 and 3.1 that you have mentioned for the year? And then secondly, obviously overnight we've seen Nissan announcing price cuts in the US, which is mostly hitting the mass market, but in the context of a much weaker yen since the start of the year, how do you think your Japanese competition in the second half of the year will utilize this tailwind? Do you expect a changed content strategy? Do you think we're seeing similar things from some of your competitors by reducing list price? And how do you think the pricing environment overall in the U.S. is going to respond to this? Thank you.
Mr. Aichina?
Well, I understand your question about the German market. You're absolutely right. The first quarter was weaker than we expected it to come. Now it's only the first quarter. We have to see what's coming next. And my expectation would exactly be between 2.9 and 3.1, hopefully a bit closer to the 3.1. But having said that, it's absolutely clear that now the European crisis has met Germany as well to a certain extent. We are not expecting a development as bad as in other European markets, but it's clearly a limitation of the potential in a German business. So in order to compensate, we have to do more in other markets. That brings me back to your second question. What could we expect from the U.S. market and from the behavior of our competitors? I mean, we have to see that the price level in the in U.S. market is not very high compared to the average of the world, right? And it was one of the consequences when the yen was weak in the 90s and the Japanese competition came in with heavy, with much lower price points than the European. Now, hopefully, they are not making the same mistake again and driving pricing further down, but we are not in their shoes. From my perspective, in our segment, we have to deal with Lexus. It's not Nissan and the other mass manufacturers. It's more the premium competition. And so far, we have not seen that they are clearly repositioning their cars list price-wise. Right? So that's what we can say at that point in time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Christian Ludwig from Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions. First of all, you said, mentioned that you believe in China you will see an improvement, basically, of your exported cars, that you will at least meet the level you have seen last year. Just like to know where your confidence comes that you'll will see a pickup in the remaining 9 months. And secondly, I saw that on your eliminations line you have a significant improvement year on year, and I understood that it has something to do with an improvement of your leasing portfolio. Maybe you can shed some more light on how sustainable this is going to be going forward.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Eichinger?
The first question about China, I already explained the technique behind the first quarter's volumes and the share between local production and imported. You have to see that we are in the second half introducing quite attractive models for the imported volumes as well. So, for example, X5 will be renewed, and it's a hot-selling car in this market, and there are other improvements coming. So that is the reason why we think there's a good chance to at least reach or even increase the volume on the import side compared to 2012. Yeah, and the market still is fairly stable. So that's the most important assumption, that it stays like this over the second half of the year. Now, eliminations line, it all comes down to the profitability of our leasing portfolio now. All the cars in the portfolio that that were sold in 2009 are now washed out. We have now a much better margin base in a portfolio, and that was reflected in higher profit eliminations, and now this is coming back and is supporting the eliminations line. That is the secret behind those numbers.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Jose Azamendi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Many thanks. Several items, please. First one on Future One costs. I was just wondering what was the impact this quarter, and if you could please remind us what was the impact in the first quarter 2012. And is there a chance that the guidance that you have for the incremental cost for strategy number one, where they're starting to look a bit cautious as we go through the year? Second point on geographical mix, clearly negative in Q1. What are your expectations for the next quarters? And if you could please quantify how much was it in Q1? And finally, looking at your Chinese operations, I would be interested to hear if you plan higher production in Q2 versus Q1, and if you have any plans to expand capacity at your TXE plant during the year as well. Thank you.
So, thank you very much. I think we start with Mr. Aichina.
Okay.
For the future one cost and...
So, first question, strategy number one cost for the future. We still confirm that we will have an additional billion this year. And the first quarter was hit under proportional. So that's what I can say. So it's coming more. Then the mix. Of course, the mix was driven by the change of the Chinese in our Chinese business compared to the first quarter 2012, where, as I said, the imported cars reached a kind of a peak in this particular quarter, and now this is not the case. They are down by 18%, but this is not a development, as I said, that will be a trend for the whole year. I think it will level out, and our prognosis still is that for the full year we will see a similar level than in 2012 or even better. So this will support profitability going forward in quarter two up to quarter four.
So, the third part of the question was China production plans, Mr. Reithofer.
I mean, over the medium term, we will increase capacity at our two Chinese plants to approximately 300,000 units. And, of course, we have flexible plant structures, and the flexible plant structures will even allow a volume of up to 400,000 vehicles to be produced locally. But I see it beyond the year 2015. But over the medium term, 300,000 units are possible. And I mean, you ask regarding China, I would like to add, I mean, from the year 2014 on, a capacity in the United States of 350,000 units is possible as well.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's 8 minutes to 3 o'clock, so we have time for two additional questions. Please, next question, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Horst Schneider from HSBC. Just two questions left. I want to come back again to this European emission regulation issue. I mean, where does that end then in the long run? Could that lead to the fact that that the cars will get more expensive and that the penetration rates in Europe for premium cars will even decline? And in that context, I want to get your view on the outlook for the premium car market, short-term and long-term. Can the premium car market continue to outgrow the overall mass market? I think we have seen in Q1 for the first time the picture that the premium car market has a little bit disappointed the expectations overall. Not speaking for you, but in general for the market, and that's particularly due to Europe. And then the second question that I have relates to your guidance on the profit before tax. You say that it should remain round about stable in 2013. And I want to ask, what is your assumption here with regard to the group operating profit? I mean, when I look at the Q1 number, is it fair to say that there's rather a chance that the group operating profit will increase in 2013 versus 2012? Thank you.
So we start with Mr. Reithofer and then Mr. Aichina. Mr. Reithofer, please.
Look, my statement you have to read in the following way. My message was we have a crystal clear target for the year 2020. It's 95 grams CO2 per kilometer. That means for the BMW group roughly around 100 grams CO2 per kilometer. So, and our point is we would like to say, look, in the car industry, you have certain development cycles, 7 years. So, and you cannot say the car industry has to achieve a 95 gram CO2 per kilometer target in 2020, and 5 years 5 years later already a target, let me say, worst case of 68 gram CO2 per kilometer in 2025. So you need a sound analysis behind what is possible in the year 2025, and you need a sound discussion with the car industry as well, what is possible for the year 2025. So, and you cannot just say, as I said it during our press conference in the morning, out of the hip, I create a target of 68 grams CO2 per kilometer, let me say up to 78 grams CO2 per kilometer. So we are at the beginning of the process. It just started, mm-hmm. and we need a lot of discussions. And of course, I hope the one or the other in Brussels will pick up the message that a discussion with the car industry is not a bad idea. That was my message, not more and not less. It's far too early to discuss costs, additional costs in the cars. As you know, we are on our way to develop alternative drivetrains. We will launch one vehicle at the end of the year, the BMW i3. We will launch another vehicle. It will be the BMW i8. I can really say with the latest and state-of-the-art technology if it comes to plug-in hybrids. But you need a certain period of time to develop those things, to build up production facilities, and. And as I said, we have already a tough target for 2020, and we need a bit time for the next tough target. So that was my message, and I hope we will see my message tomorrow in the newspapers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. So the second part of your question, the answer will come from Mr. Eichiner.
Okay, your question about premium. I mean, we still believe that basically all the customers in the major markets have a desire to differentiate themselves. So they are prepared to buy premium goods overall, and it's holding true for the cars as well. So it's not something that where we see a negative trend in a customer base. Where we have question marks is on the regulation side. And that's a political decision, as Dr. Reithofer explained. That's not in our hand. We have to see what's coming and how we react to this. That's where the risk is. But basically, I think premium product is still very attractive to many consumers, and we don't see that this trend is broken going forward. Now, your question about the profit before tax guidance, I mean, I explained the development in a different segments, positive financial services as portfolios were profitable, positive for consolidation, and some pressure in the auto segment. Overall, we still support what we've already announced on a profit before tax level. We will maintain the guidance that we would like to achieve a similar level in 2013 as we achieved in 2012. At that point in time, I cannot say more. There are too many uncertainties out there. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in our call today and for your questions. On behalf of the BMW Group team, I wish you all a pleasant afternoon. Thank you very much and bye-bye.